Okay, you know, it's hard to know what to call these things. This is Jason Emerald. You're listening to Owen Meanderer. I am on my normal Tuesday night trip to the temple in Lubbock. I just got through, good 65. I'm so disobedient. Getting through Littlefield. Whoa, there's a guy on the road with dressed in black. I almost hit him because he won't get over to the side of the road very well. He was riding the line. Scared the crap out of me. I hate killing people. Anyway. Huh. Okay, let's see. We've done most, and we need to talk about Davor now. Davor, okay, this is probably going to be Davor in prophecy, and that's probably the big feature of Davor in this particular story. Because Davor, by nature, is really just kind of a come-along. You know, he is some lady's consort, and he just kind of does whatever his lady wants him to do. He doesn't really have much of an independent life, and this is pretty typical for the convocation culture. Men either do all the hard labor that women don't want to do. They get assigned those things to do. Or they're a consort and they're kind of like when a starlet has a red carpet event, you know, that's the person that takes their hand and helps them out of the car. That's the person who's on their elbow. I don't know if that's such a big thing anymore, but it used to be the thing. Women never went to anything unescorted. And that was basically what these guys, that's basically what consorts were. They were male escorts for women, and, you know, whatever their needs were, by and large, the convocation culture, number one, has no concept of marriage. There is no covenant there that keeps one man and one woman sort of together. It's very much, you know, it just ends up being whatever the lady wants, you know, and it kind of trickles down to matrons and dames and even the common women. Women are always in the culture of first home, women are always in charge. So, I guess probably the best comparison today would be the sugar mama, you know. She has all the power, she has all the money. And if a guy wants sex or something like that, he kind of trades himself to get those kinds of needs fulfilled. Anyway, this is all kind of half explained in Escape, which is a chronologically earlier work. It's already done, and it's published. It's out there. You can go buy it at Amazon. The Big Eerie Escape. You can also buy Godsend, which was actually... I don't want to say what it actually was. It isn't labeled as a Navigieri novel, but it really essentially was. I changed styles drastically between those two books. And anyway, so I kind of think they each have their own little charms to them. Regardless, we're talking about Prophecy, which is a book that features most of the characters from Escape, just, 18 years older. Introduces some new ones. Anyway, so we're going to talk about Deva. Deva really hasn't changed particularly, but it doesn't become obvious Melisandre has made spiritual progress in 18 years. Deivor is now married to Melisandre, but we find out through the course of the story that Deivor doesn't think much of the marriage itself. He still has in his mind the whole idea of the convocation. Women, whistle you up. Or you're assigned to a certain lady. And all this time, the only lady around him was Melisandre, so she may have gotten the impression that he was quite loyal to her. We find out later in this story that he really isn't. And that he is still a product of the culture that he was born and raised in. This confusion is further exacerbated by the fact that Ennis says that he is putting together a mission. God inspired him to put together a group of people to go down to First Home and to recruit new people to join the Waykeep community. I'm not going to go into that because I'm sure that will come up when it comes to us talking about Ennis in Prophecy. Anyway, Deivor in Prophecy. As part of this whole thing, it comes out that Melisandre has had deep in her heart that she's been trying to ignore. She has deep in her heart that she wants to take the information that she has gained. Mostly from Waykeep records about Kiami and the beginnings of her people. There is a whole future book about the beginnings of this thing. Kind of the story, it isn't really the story of Aladius and Cassandra, except that they are in it, but it really is about their children and how and how things go and how things progress. And really, it kind of becomes kind of the cradle story of the convocation and how it came to pass. Anyway, but we're not going to get into that either. So she has all this stuff, and she really wants to take this information back home because it has some relevance with what she learned about the convocation, and its mythos, and what she has come to understand is greater truths, especially about the Mariner, which they've had some contact with, not a lot, and usually secondhand. Anyway, so as these things kind of get revealed, and it just kind of comes from this kind of, Edith comes over to say hi for a visit, which he does not often do. The way it works is this little family of Olacinda, Davor, and Westland fish. The guys do. Molacinda is in charge of processing, gutting, and whatever other processing they do. Usually trying. And then the family takes their product up to Waykeep, and so they provide dried and sometimes fresh fish to the Waykeep community, and in exchange they get the kind of stuff that Waykeep can produce. Those guys have some pretty good gardens. It's taken care of. And that's kind of the interaction between them. Anyway, so like I said, Davor is kind of like something akin to a lapdog. You know, he gives every indication of being very loyal to his lady. You know, head in her lap. You know, and you know, now within the bonds of marriage, sex is fine. Although we find out soon enough that for Davor, that's just a lady's right is to be able to have sex with her consort, and as long as she wants to. And if she gets tired of you, or if you make her mad, or anything like that, she gets to get rid of you. And since there is pretty much at least kind of an attitude that the women are extremely civilized, there's kind of a market for these kind of guys. There was a place they can go when a lady turns them down and when they become eligible again. And other women can pick them up, you know, and you can use them for a trial. You can try them out and see if you like them. These ladies can. And, or they can just hang on to them for a while. It really is up to the lady how they feel about it. guys are really trained. I say they're bred, but there's a whole different kind of breeding going on. Guys are really trained from infancy to really kind of just accept whatever happens, whatever comes. They may very well have preferences, but I don't think they can really afford them. You know, most of the guys that want to be in kind of a consort cast, they have to do, you know, they tend to be kind of beefcake, more showy than anything else. Anyway, but this was not Davor, although Davor was often a consort. And that was due to Samantha's breeding program. He seemed to have a good daughter success rate. You'd go off and you'd copulate, and then the woman would get pregnant, and she would have a lot of girls. He had a lot of girls under his belt. And it's hard to say how Samantha got various ladies to agree to Davor as a consort. Don't know if money passed. I really don't know. Favors. They would rig one of the pageants so that they would have a better outcome. They would win and they would rise in prestige. It's hard to say. That's probably what she ended up doing. However, Davor didn't do anything about trying to beef up, trying to be more attractive to women. He was bad, but he was trying. And, it seemed to go okay for him anyway. He didn't really care. His ladies didn't tend to be very demanding of him. Probably part of that was simply because he was, because he just wasn't all that sexually attractive, you know. It wasn't like, oh, I'm having sex with an Adonis. That wasn't Davor. Anyway. So, okay, having known all this, I don't know how this really figures into all this. One of my main problems with Davor is he needs to do something key during this time. And I'm not sure exactly what it is yet. I'm hoping it comes at some point. But what happens at this little time when they're getting this mission together and Mollicent says, yeah, I'm going to go. And, of course, that means Davor is going to go too. But Davor has these dreams of what's happening right now in First Home and what's going to happen in the immediate future. It's really interesting. And, of course, you know, it makes everybody think that, boy, you know, Davor's coming on just as spiritually too. So they think he's on board. But we find out later that he really isn't. When when he starts telling people about what he's seen, and people say, well, how do you know this? And you go, well, I've had some dreams. And it's like, oh. The queen wants to acquire him as a consort, not so much to have sex with him, but to have better access to this intel that he now has. You know, that they've discovered that he has. And he has quite a bit. He saw a lot in a course of just, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. He can name names. He can point out those who do good or do wrong. He can talk about, he can reveal secrets, which is a huge thing for the convocation. The convocation is chock full of secrets. We don't get a whole lot of it at the beginning because, number one, it's not interesting to talk about at the beginning. It makes more sense to talk about it when it really matters. But anyway, he has these dreams. He says, I've had some dreams, and I've seen some stuff going on and that seems to be set in first hope. It takes him a little bit just to figure out that he actually is what he actually dreamed actually happens and was seen. And it just isn't from the present, it's from the future too. Devar was going to follow Melisandre anyway. Especially if Melisandre said, I want you to come with me, she would have come. Of course, Wesley's going too, because he is just starstruck by Ennis and wants to be around Ennis whenever he can. He doesn't get lots of chances. And Ennis just kind of, I don't know if he's dismissive of him, but it really isn't one of those, you know, it's like, oh, well, Wesley is my protege. He isn't like a tag-along bother where it's like, get away from me, kid, you bother me. But he doesn't, you know, he doesn't make any special effort, Ennis does, to enter into West's life. But this isn't about West, this is about Daymore. So, those guys go now. And we go, and then we start. We find out pretty soon that Devor really enjoys being this prophet figure, and he likes the attention that he gets, and Mulz doesn't quite know what to make of it and how she's supposed to react to it. You know, she is a very kindly person, bordering on a nice person, which means that if there's something that really needs to be said, if somebody needs to be corrected, she really isn't going to be probably the person that will likely do it. This is one of the problems with Wesley as a person, but let's not get into that yet. Devor was a strange egg, yeah, as a younger man in the culture around the convocation. He was and also kind of a strange one, just for, like I said, all the things about, he was kind of elevated to a consort without any of the stuff a consort has to groom himself to have. And so he wasn't liked by by any of the consorts when he was younger, nor is he really liked now, but it doesn't seem like it really matters because his being acquired by one lady or another has nothing to do with his looks or with his manner or his style or being eye candy to try to, you know, raise jealousy among other ladies. You know, that's part of what having one of those primo beefcake consorts is for, is to show him off, indicate that he's yours, and that, you know, and all of the other women are just green with envy because they wish he was theirs. So there's a lot of jealousy, a lot of envy going on among these girls. Of course, it's really fueled by the fact that this place is like a running hot and cold gossip rag, story time book place, and you know, this is what passes as news, is who's acquired this consort or that one, who lost this or lost that. Usually when a lady loses a contest, often, almost always, she will, you know, she definitely loses the house that was associated with that title. But often, she will also lose her current consort. He'll have to go back on the market, which everybody looks forward to. Oh, who's going to get him? Who's going to get him next, you know? And there's a certain amount of trading going on, you know. The coin of the realm, a lot of it gets passed as part of trying to purchase title to a consort or to something else. And, of course, there's plenty of bribery and stuff like that, you know. Certain houses are very lucrative, and even though they may not be very tasteful, like, you know, the actual Princess of Fish is kind of a, you know, it doesn't sound very, very palatable. You know, it's like, it really is, you know, you are the major dealer in fish, you know. Now, the lady doesn't really get involved except in a token way. Her house does all of this, you know. The actual, you know, there's matrons in charge, and there's dames that serve as low-level management, and all of their practical men, women, slaves that actually do the vast majority of the work. But there's a lot of resources, a lot of money floating around because of how important the fish trade is. So even though it's like, oh, you're the princess of fish, you know, you have to understand that it has a certain perk to it in that you can spend a lot of that money acquiring nice things, which is something that women treasure out of all this, you know. How much stuff do I have? You know, how nice the gifts are that you're giving to certain investment parties. stuff like that. You know, there's kind of a whole trade around, and it's really kind of bizarre, but it's there. You know, having the best of this and this, the best spa treatments, the best that, you know, and they say, oh, you smell fishy. And that's both a compliment and a slight to say such things. So, it's kind of interesting. Anyway, so yeah, the only reason why this stuff comes up is that Dayhor is just as traded on this particular milieu as anybody else is, but he has more of he has an interesting value. Different women get to also have different things that they really, you know, have an obsession with or that they really like. You know, it's just like everything else. They aren't carbon copies of each other. But it does kind of steer what kind of contests they get into, what kind of titles they're looking for, hunting for, and stuff like that. Now, from Escape, you also know that most of these women really do not last very long. You know, as soon as it's found that they've put out a couple of boys in this great system that they've got going, that Samantha's really working on trying to make real the mythology that these highly placed ladies have some biological right to their status because they only give birth to other ladies. You know, other kinds of things don't happen. Anyway, so Davor's enjoying all this, and it's causing our moles some consternation, of course, because she had hoped that in getting separation from first home that they had gotten past all of the weirdness. She feels like she has, but the whole question is, it's not a question. It's very apparent that Davor has. Davor is very much, you know, he just put all of his stuff on some kind of back burner while he was out of the reach of the convocation. But once he got back in, but once he got back close to it, he fell right back into it. And, you know, there's with all the interesting perks and all the interesting things that kind of go along with it, at first he just says, well, I'm just trying to kind of fit in. You know, he's not stupid, particularly. But yeah, it starts becoming very obvious that all of the various covenants that he had made with Melisandre were just so much junk to him. You know, because Melisandre is not a very highly placed lady anymore. Number one, she's a good 10 years easily older than most of the other women among the ladies. You know, And because she's had kind of a hard bit life, she really does kind of come off more matronly. It was something she kind of came up with later on. She kind of figured that she was going to become a dame and probably get into the matron stuff and just skip all the lady stuff. But that wasn't tolerated by Samantha, who had plans for her. She thought she would be a very perfect breeder. Anyway. But, okay, so Baylor's having this problem, and Melisenda is very disappointed with him. Doesn't understand why he got all these visions if he wasn't going to be, or if he didn't prove to be a particularly righteous, I guess is the right term for it, man. And like I said, there's something in here that's vital that Davor does that makes all this stuff that might kind of justify what's going on. $2.59, not a particularly good price. Oh, $2.39. $2.29 is a lot better. $2.39. Huh. Sugar on the stripes. Well, I wasn't over in that lane. And I don't have time. So it's $2.59, which isn't that good. It's okay. It's better. But it's about $2.63 in Tucum Carry. Not a lot higher. You know, at the end of the day, it's probably 25 cents difference with a tanky ass. Anyway. So, we're going to have to figure that out because I really haven't gotten a sense for that. Usually as I go along in the story, these things will manifest themselves, and that works for me. If this is something Davor needs to do, I think in the past, I already worked it through, so there may be something in the existing outline that already answers that. And I go, oh, that's right. That's what it was. Anyway, so Westland isn't having much of this stuff at all, so there is a lot of angst between the men. And Westland isn't very happy with his father. But I think Davor probably sets up Michiana with Westland. Because of course he's the queen's consort, and he has some pretty highly placed ladies' ears to be able to suggest things to her. And, you know, Westland's an interesting guy, but you know, he's a pretty hardy fella. You know, fishing will do that to you. It kind of makes Davor lean and stringy, but it kind of buffed up Westland. Lots of fish, and so he's a pretty broad-shouldered. He's kind of got some of the attributes that you would be looking for in a consort, in a beefcake consort. Now, this all gets mixed in with the fact that Michiana is very much a devotee of Oh, what's her name? Of Mulls. Mulls has decided that the best use of her time is in telling stories from the Kiami records that she copied out of Wakey. And of course she's very attractive, she's very kind, she's very nice, so she's kind of attractive in the first place to a lot of different people for a lot of different needs. You know, and she was always the sort that was particularly nice to the disadvantaged. And, you know, there's always plenty of those around. And so she starts having these kinds of cottage meetings where she will come and she will read from these things, you know, and a whole lot of them are stories. And so she does these things. Now, the royal princess, who is the next in line, once the queen gets in trouble and dies, you know, very, very rarely do any of these women get past 30. You know, so they're all gorgeous. They're all the nubile types. All that stuff is readily apparent from who they are and what they do. And she's kind of weird because she's in her mid-30s, which nobody gets to mid-30s among this bunch. Anyway, now I'll just get gas here. Well, $2.35 is a good price. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and do this, even though I've got my headset on and I'm still recording. And, of course, Dave's got the whole thing of there's more nubile women around than Melisandre, so his eyes are constantly wandering. Doesn't make Melisandre feel very good. And so, yeah, this just becomes very obvious later on. The queen acquires him. Do. I'm just talking in circles. I don't have it. Ultimately, when everything comes falling apart, he gets kind of rounded up as a convocation loyalist and thrown in prison. These guys aren't really into the re-education stuff. They just throw you away. And that's what happens here. That's ultimately what happens to Davor. Lucky fella, huh? So, I don't know if my thing will... I'm way away from the phone right now. Hopefully it'll do okay. Oh. So, I still got to figure out what exactly Davor contributes to the whole thing. I think it becomes while this happens. It may be the coming together of Melisandre and Westland And I don't want to talk a lot about that just because it's other people's stories. It really isn't theirs. Oh, there's some fire truck just pulled over, and now they've been called to do something. I think they were going to come together and have some fun. There's another guy here. He needs to tell people to get the heck out of their way. Okay, I think he's out of my way. I don't have to worry about him anymore. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, I got my gas for going forward. Okay. Dave Orr ends up being an interesting figure. He figures into almost everything that goes on, and he knows what's going to happen. And he says, yeah, you are going to be able to reinvest Waykeep. And you go, no, I can't tell you who or how many, or it seems like a pretty good group, you know, says, I think you're going to be fine. So it brings a lot of hope to Ennis, you know, early on, that he says, okay, this really is going to work out and it's going to go okay. And Davor is really quite central to all this stuff coming to pass, all right. You know, there's going to be this, there's going to be that. You know, the things that he sees in the future. And that's useful. Sometimes he doesn't talk about things, and maybe he should have. Who knows? Or maybe he just didn't see them. He doesn't really say, and it doesn't really show up in the thing. So anyway, I need to stop now because I'm at the temple. It's time to do temple work. So I'm going to stop here. There's really not anything much more to say about Davor. He ends up being very disappointed as a person. He's really useful for the information that he knows from his visions. And that's kind of where everything kind of ends. And so I'm glad I could do this and talk to you later.